Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The United States faces diverse and increasingly complex security challenges. Meeting the challenges of today as well as the emergent threats of tomorrow depends on having an Air Force that is properly resourced. To effectively organize, train, and equip a force that can meet the country's needs in air, space, and cyberspace at a time of fiscal challenges, the U.S. Air Force is seeking to eliminate unneeded expenditures and rebalance spending. Doing so will allow the Air Force to shift resources from overhead and support functions to force structure and future modernizations, while also streamlining operations across the enterprise. What is the U.S. Air Force doing to improve its financial operations, become more efficient, and control costs? How is the U.S. Air Force improving financial information and achieving audit readiness? And what is it doing to promote management and organizational excellence? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Jamie Morin, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller. Welcome, Dr. Morin.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to have a chance to be here and talk with you and your guests.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is John Vonglis. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be back.
Dr. Morin, before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you could provide us with an overview of the history and mission of your office.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the Air Force Comptroller really dates back to the founding of the Air Force, which takes you back to 1947. And ever since we've had military, we've had paymasters to make sure the troops get paid. And ever since we've had the Air Force, we've had a need to account for and allocate the Air Force's money, the money that the taxpayer entrusts to us.
So operationally, could you give us a sense of what's the purview under your portfolio? What's the size of your budget? What's the size of your office? And how do you support the overall DoD mission?
So there's really three pieces to financial management in the Air Force. The first piece is the budget execution and development and justification to the Congress. And the Air Force budget amounts to $119 billion in the request that we've sent to Congress for fiscal year 2012. So it's a pretty hefty chunk of money. That budget is worked by a key part of my operation under a major general in the Air Force. We then also have a second shop that is responsible for the actual accounting and our financial operations. That means the process of making sure folks get paid on time and correctly, and then recording all of the funds that we do spend. That's our budget, our financial operations shop. Then we have a third part that's absolutely critical today, especially as budgets are beginning to come down. That's our cost and estimating operation. And those folks play a really important role in our acquisition programs. Their job is to provide the unbiased external assessment of what a program's actually likely to cost, not necessarily buying into some of the over-promising and under-delivering that can sometimes happen in big acquisition programs, providing an independent set of eyes that says, well, we've looked at history, we've looked at how this program's structured, we've looked at the details of how it's going to deliver, and you know, we think it might be a little more. Or sometimes we think it might be a little less.
So your office is a very important mission support function. Could you tell us a little bit about your specific role leading that office? What are your specific responsibilities and duties?
Well, the day-to-day is really as the right hand to the Secretary of the Air Force and the Chief of Staff of the Air Force as they try to make the resource allocation and execution decisions necessary to accomplish the Air Force mission, you know, to fly, fight, and win for our nation. So it is it's broadly diverse, and one day can be heavily focused on developing budget. Another day can be heavily focused on working with the Congress on specific provisions that we need in order to be more efficient, whereas other days can be much more long-term oriented as we're working towards the goal of accelerating our audit readiness to 2014, for example. We have to take a very careful and deliberate approach looking at dozens and dozens of IT systems, looking at resources that need to be applied across the length and breadth of the Air Force, all around the world in a variety of functional organizations, everything from comptrollership to acquisition to logistics to the flight line. And so it is a tremendously diverse job and really just a great privilege to have it.
Dr. Morin, Jamie, if I may, regarding your responsibilities and duties, what do you see as your top challenges that you face in the position, and how are you addressing those challenges?
Well, I've alluded to a couple of them already. The ones I would focus on first and foremost are the necessity to get the maximum amount of combat capability out of each dollar the taxpayers entrust to us. Again, as we move to a time of maybe a little greater budget austerity, as the nation's grappling with a serious fiscal challenge, that responsibility is really always at the forefront of my mind. Deeply tied into that responsibility is the need to give the taxpayers a clean accounting of what funds we receive and how we expend them. And Secretary Panetta has been tremendously engaged on that effort, which has really helped build significant momentum, working very closely with Undersecretary of Defense Hale and with my senior leadership, as well as partners across the Air Force. We've been pressing forward on the audit readiness effort, and we've had some significant accomplishments. A third priority that is really key is that reinvigoration of the cost estimating capability of the Air Force. That's an area that unfortunately had deteriorated somewhat in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it left us at a bit of a disadvantage when it came to putting clean, clear eyes on promises that were being made to us, and led to some excessive cost growth in some of our major acquisition programs. We really can't tolerate that level of cost growth in the environment we're in now. So that reinvigoration is key. The fourth one has to be the financial management workforce that is so critical to accomplishing all those other goals. We have a tremendously talented team of civilians and military, really about 13,000 people working financial management in the Air Force at any one time, and they're enormously committed to their work. As the world changes, we continue to need them to develop new skills, to deepen their skills. In an environment where a clean audit is a necessity, we need to make sure we're not just developing and fostering the improvement of a portion of that workforce, but really all of them, because a weak link can really hurt you when it comes to that.
Switching subjects a little bit, could you describe for our listeners your career path and how you began and what brought you to your current role?
Goodness, I'm a recovering academic, I'd say. I've been deeply engaged and interested in national security issues my whole life. My bachelor's was at Georgetown studying international security. I went to the London School of Economics and had the chance to take a master's degree there in public policy and public administration. Got the academic bug there, I think, and decided I would go straight on to a PhD. Yale was gracious enough to give me a fellowship that let me go there. I ended up with the Senate Budget Committee. Had a chance to work for a great member, Senator Kent Conrad of North Dakota, chairman of the committee, and he gave me the opportunity to handle the defense, the intelligence, and the foreign affairs budgets for the committee. I was, again, very lucky to have the chance to move over into the administration and take this position as the chief financial officer for the Air Force, which is obviously a humbling one, but a tremendous opportunity.
Well, given your merging of the theory and practice, what are the essential characteristics of an effective leader? And who has influenced your leadership style and management approach?
You know, my approach to leadership is, I would describe it as collaborative. You know, all wisdom doesn't rest in any one head. It certainly doesn't rest in mine in its entirety. And I try to listen a lot more than I talk when we're in decision-making situations. And then I try to be an articulate spokesman for the decisions that emerged from a collaborative discussion. That is one style of leadership. There's obviously many others, and many others can be effective. But it tends to be my personal approach. I also think it's very important, especially in stressful times, for leaders to bring a little humor to the business. And we're working in the Air Force on high-stakes issues. We're working on issues that affect billions of dollars of taxpayer money. We're working on issues that affect the lives of American service members and vital national security interests at home and abroad. So they're serious issues, and they need to be taken seriously. But when you're for 12 hours in a day moving from one extremely serious issue to another, I think it is important to inject a little humor.
How is the U.S. Air Force improving financial information and achieving audit readiness? We will ask Dr. Jamie Morin, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.